Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Find Luke chapter 7. I'll be reading chapters 7 and 8 this morning. I will pray, read through these passages, taking some devotional pauses, some applicational thoughts at the end, and then close in prayer. And I encourage you to do it right along with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Gospels and all that we learn about Jesus and things surrounding his ministry and those first followers that he chose. And I pray that you would help me to understand your word this morning and know how to apply it to my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 7. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There was a centurion's servant whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Pause there for a moment. There's a lot of, obviously, miracle stories and healing stories connected with Jesus in the Gospels. Well, this is certainly a unique one. This would be a centurion who you would expect would not be Jewish and would not believe in God or believe in Jesus. And yet, perhaps he did, because he did not even think Jesus needed to come, but that he had authority to heal. He must have believed. And Jesus, to say, "I haven't even found such great a faith in Israel," is pretty amazing. And of course, he healed the servant. And they went home and found him well. Verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding community, or the surrounding country. Another very unique story. And I wonder, you know, here in Luke being a doctor, it's interesting, you know, that these would be the stories he'd be sharing. Another unique thing where someone is dead being carried out on a bier, you know, we would think like a funeral procession or on a casket or something. And he heals him. And they understand that he's a prophet. They recognize that, and word spreads about him. Just part of God's plan at this point. Verse 18, John's disciples told him all about these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleaned, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, and will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Wow. So I believe the context is John the Baptist, who has spoken against Herod for his infidelity. He is with his brother's wife, maybe, or something. But anyway, he gets thrown in prison, and it's from there that he sends and asks about Jesus. You know, he had been spending his life preparing the way, and now, for some reason, he's in doubt, maybe because he's in prison, he hasn't been released, he's, who knows, we're not told, but it's interesting, Jesus, you know, sends his disciples back to him and say, tell him what you've seen, tell him what you've heard, he'll know. And then he takes the opportunity to his disciples, to the crowd, to say, John's a pretty amazing guy, no one better, but I want to tell you, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So, he points away from the things of this world, even good ministry in this world, to the kingdom of God, where everything is upside down in God's economy. Verse 26, all the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose, a huge surprise here, for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Jesus went on to say, to what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other. We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he is a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, again, he's thinking to himself, right? Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven? You've judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love is shown. But whoever's been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Love Jesus' teaching style. He knows what this man is thinking. He's in his home. He's rich. And this woman comes in, this sinful woman, it says, who pours this expensive thing out on Jesus and loves him unconditionally and just gives of herself. And Jesus praises that. So that's what faith is all about. And he does something that, of course, causes many people problems over those few years. He specifically forgave sins, which connects him with the only one in the law that could forgive sins, and that is God. Chapter 8. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. All right, so this is part of where it comes from. Now, some thought the woman before was Mary Magdalene, that she was a sinful woman, a prostitute, but I don't think we have that clearly laid out in Scripture. And here, it's separate, saying that Mary Magdalene had evil spirits in her, specifically seven demons that had come out. We see that in another place. And then these other women who were there to support the ministry. And that's why we believe that there were women around the disciples in Jesus, although it doesn't give us a lot of details of their part. But they were around, and we certainly see them show up near the end and after Jesus dies. Verse 4, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So Jesus gives this parable of the sower. It's in other Gospels as well. Seems like there might be a little more detail here as he tells this parable. Then the disciples ask about it. He lets them know that you know, he's speaking in parables because by God's sovereignty, there's only some who are going to hear it. And so it's only for some to understand. And for others, it will cause confusion. And then he explains to his disciples what this means. And they certainly see this played out in spiritual lives throughout their ministry. Verse 16, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there's nothing hidden that will be not disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." All right, that can bother some of us, right? We're family-oriented. Family is very important. What's Jesus doing, dissing his family? Well, I think the purpose here probably is just to be an example of what he tells all his followers to do. That compared to him, they must hate their family. That they must love Jesus so much more than their family that it looks like hatred. And I think he's being the example of that here. Verse 22, one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him." They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stopped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down a steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region, the Gerasenes, asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear, so he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Another amazing story there. Jesus gives permission to the demons to go into the pigs, and they do. People see it, they hear it, they go around telling everybody. The people want them to leave because they're full of fear, which it shouldn't be the right response to the great things Jesus did. I think in another place we find out people were upset because he ruined, you know, their pigs. Like that was some of their livelihood. And then this man wants to follow him, but he's going to follow him somewhere else. He's going to follow him by going and telling everybody what God has done, which again connects himself as God. Verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had instantly been healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Wow, lots of interesting things here. People being healed all over the place. Lots of great stories. These things really happen. And they really show who Jesus was. This last one's interesting, you know. This one had actually, they thought had died, and she had died. Jesus sees her just as sleeping and heals her and challenges this synagogue leader who probably was not a believer, maybe until then. And then in this case, he tells the parents, don't tell anyone what's happened. And again, this is all God's sovereignty and the timing of everything and how he wants things to work. It's amazing. So what do I take away from this? You know, the thing that really comes out to me here is through these miracles and through this healing, Jesus shows himself to be God. And especially with the power not just to heal someone, but to forgive sins. And he does it for all kinds of people. Not just those who are already following him. And he also has different messages for them in terms of God's sovereignty, in terms of how they are to follow him now and what they are to do. So that's what I take away from this and just personalize it by thinking about still having the faith that believes God can do anything, having the faith that accepts what God is doing in my life, and the faith that is willing to direct other people to him as God provides. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, this is just so amazing. Your son, and what he did and showed himself to be you. You, God, our Father. Just thank you for your word. Thank you for these amazing stories. Use them in my life. Help me to remember that the same God is around today. You are still healing people. You're still doing miracles. Maybe a little bit different. And yet, Father, you're still doing amazing things. And you're teaching the ones you have called to be able to understand and to follow you. And you give us the opportunity to be able to be a light for you and direct other people, not just to the healing power you have, but more than that, to the kingdom of God through faith. And I thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.